Stay tuned for a live broadcast on heritageradionetwork.com. 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 Broadcasting live from Roberta's in Bushwick, Brooklyn, you're listening to HeritageRadioNetwork.com.
I'm Jason Colucci, host of The Morning After, broadcasting live from Roberta's on the Heritage Radio Network. Great guest today. We're going to talk to my favorite bar in New Orleans, the Erin Rose. Gentleman, Vice President Ron Matthews for Reed Exhibitions. Anyone who doesn't know what those guys do, they have the international restaurant show at the Javits Center. That show travels around the country and the world. And my good friend Jack Inslee, who is the executive producer, who's out down in the west, the Keys down there in Florida, calling in. Jack.
Hey.
All right.
I'm here.
Okay. First of all, I want to ask you one question.
Yes.
Are you using a condom?
Am I where?
Where are you? You're down in the West. You're down in the Keys, Key West. You're at Patrick Martin's and Saxelby. The first couple of the slow food movement have gotten married. And
they have. Hey, Carlos, get sound effect A8 ready. Get sound effect A8. Because we can officially congratulate Patrick Martins and Ann Saxelby, who tied the knot last night.
Yes!
The most beautiful, beautiful wedding ceremony I've ever been to.
And I'm proud at The Morning After to give an exclusive on this. Thank you, Jack, for calling in. Let's get it up. I'll give you a few seconds here. You know, Carlos takes his time in there. You know, by the way, Jack, he's cleaned the whole studio this morning. I will personally vouch for that.
Carlos has been doing a great job. I've been checking up on him constantly, doing a great job.
I can tell because I'm checking your Facebook, whether it's a picture on the beach or of the ocean. So I can see you doing a lot of really good work though over there. Are you having fun? Honestly, Jack.
Having a great time, man. It was really a truly inspiring ceremony. Brian Kenny from the Hearst Ranch officiated. Really beautiful service. And, you know, the cool thing is Patrick and Ann met at Heritage Radio Network. So it's a little bit special for me, and I've seen this thing from its birth until this point, and it couldn't be better.
Well, Carlos, tell me when you're ready for that thing. I want to talk to Jack for a couple of seconds, but let us know when that clip is pulled up. Jack, was that before or after the Cutting the Curd and show? And that's not a joke. I just wasn't sure.
That was just as Cutting the Curd started. He heard about her. He offered her a radio show. He met her in the radio station after booking the show, and I was the producer from the beginning. So every week, Patrick would he'd come maybe about an hour before her show, and he'd say, "Jack, you got to download the Olympic theme, or the NFL on NBC theme, or the NBA theme." And it was always a different sports theme to start her show, and she never saw it coming, and she always laughed. That was his way, I guess, of And, I don't know.
No, and 2 years later, literally the from my end, from Jack is Patrick Martins is a huge influence on myself of his company, and Ann Saxby as well. You know, these are two people who are around the same age that started sort of companies that don't fall in the normal kind of gambit of like, okay, we have food, we're selling it to big restaurants. You know, they have small companies, small staffs, and they have a huge following. And then they met and they decided to tie the knot, and it happened this weekend. Any kind of good gossip that happened down there?
Gossip?
Yeah, come on. How many? Really, come on, it's restaurant
Damon
people.
Damon Bolte hosted the speakeasy, got nice and drunk. and myself and Chris Paracchini, the guy who owns Roberta's, and Gabe, we all set off a bunch of fireworks nice and late at the wedding and got some police complaints, but other than that, pretty gossip-free.
Awesome. Carlos, I can't string this thing any much longer because you can't find this clip. Have you found the clip yet? Hold on one second.
Carlos,
what's up? Where is it, Jack? Is it in a specific file?
There was also a bachelor party at Woody's, and I'll have you guys.
Wait, here it is. Here it is. Here it is. Is this it? Is this it? Do we have the clip? We don't have the clip. He's looking for it.
Oh, what is that?
No, we're waiting for your clip. No. We can't find it. It's fine. Jack, when are you back, by the way?
I'm back tomorrow.
All right, well, Jack, have a good trip coming back. We'll try to play the clip later on in the show. Any other stuff? No other gossip? You don't want to give us a morning after another exclusive other than the wedding?
Oh, man, let's see. So that's all I got for you. Grandma June got down on the dance floor with Silva. That's all I'll say. And also, shout out to Carlos. Shout out to Jesse and Bennett and everybody in the control room over there.
Thanks, man. I appreciate your time. You know, you deserve your time. Even though Patrick Martin's your boss, gives you time off, but it's at his wedding.
That works for me, man.
At least you do get time off, man. Jack, thanks again. We'll talk to you soon. I'll see you next week, morning after.
All right, man.
We're here, and that's Jack Inslee, executive producer, Heritage Radio. He's here every weekend. The control booth's already giving me dirty looks. It's only 5 or 6 minutes into the show, and it wasn't even my fault this time. we have some great guests. You know, my parents are in the studio. Mom and Dad, can you just at least say hello so we can hear your voices? You don't have to. We're not giving you a formal interview. Al,
hello.
Albert Colucci. Phyllis Colucci.
Hello.
She's extremely nervous. Mom, can you give me one shout out to my Aunt Patricia? Trish. Come on, this show's only 45 minutes long. Even though they're burning down the houses and do their show, can you give me a quick little Trish? She's dying over here. Trish, please.
Trish.
Okay, there you go. That's my Aunt Patricia. You know, it's funny because I had to get myself and Bennett, my girlfriend, we had to get our passports updated because we're taking our family vacation to the Bahamas in May. It's a thing we do every year, and my passport was expired. And that's always an interesting thing. And I have to say, and I know Jesse will totally agree with me on this, one of the worst things about working in the service industry is it really opens you up to how people feel. Like, you can't – like, when I go somewhere, I go to a restaurant and I know a server is having a bad experience, I could totally get in their head, and it ruins my experience too. And there's nothing worse than going to the post office on a Saturday at 9 in the morning and getting your passport updated. And we went there – Bennett – what was that? Didn't the girl yell at you when we were at the thing? Turn the microphone. Didn't the girl yell at you?
Where?
At the post office.
She did.
You got yelled at. Okay. Mm-hmm. But we had a record time. We left.
I signed too early.
You signed your thing too early. But from there, we went to a great restaurant. This is kind of bringing me to where I wanted to go, which was the Bonefish Grill. Now, the Bonefish Grill is a corporate restaurant. Who knows who they're owned by? You know, we went out to eat. My parents were graciously enough taking us out to dinner. And the thing was, I was doing research on this restaurant. And the interesting thing about this restaurant is they have, 48 states of Bonefish Grill. And out of 48 states, they're all running the same special. They all have the same special on the thing. One of them is called Wolffish. And Ben, what did you have? You had the hamburger,
the Kobe,
right?
Burger.
Mom, what did you have? You had a... You had a pork chop.
Yes.
Oh, I apologize to my parents. My mom ordered a pork chop at a seafood restaurant. And Dad, what did you have?
I had surf and turf.
Surf and turf. Can you define that more? That's pretty broad. You had a surf and turf.
Lobster and steak.
Okay. What was it? What was the cut? Was it a lobster tail?
Yeah.
Okay. And what was the steak part? Was it a strip steak? Was it a filet mignon?
It was a filet mignon.
Okay, cool. And the interesting thing, I got mom. What did I have? I forgot. I'm still asking my mom for what I had because I'm still 5 years old.
You had the Chilean
sea bass. Chilean sea bass, which was horrible. But you know, it was one of those things where like it was well intended, kind of a place, and we had a pretty fun time. But you know, overall, you know, the sadness of Middletown, New Jersey, and that whole area of New Jersey is that the block is either corporate restaurants or privately owned restaurants, and all the privately owned restaurants always go out of business. I don't know if it's a bad business plan or whatever, but guys, we're going to take a break. Carlos, we're gonna take a break here. We're going to come back. We're going to talk to my favorite bar in New Orleans, the Aaron Rose. New Orleans starts Mardi Gras tomorrow. We're going to talk to her tomorrow. Morning After.
The bucket's got a hole in it, and we can't buy no more beer. Yes, a hole in it. Yeah, man, the bucket's got a hole in it. The bucket's got a hole in it. Come on in, your body be gone. They want probably want in there.
Here we go. Here we go. Morning After, we're back. I want to clarify something. Carlos, I'm sorry before because, you know, Jack in his executive producing stylings had a clip which was apparently the applause clip, right?
Yeah. Yeah, okay. It's, you know, just a little something like that.
And in produce... Yeah. Oh, congratulations. Congratulations, Jack. That was like any clip off of iTunes or, you know, he made it sound like he had this big thing queued up. And I apologize. I thought there was something else, but apparently there's not. we're going to go into, you know, I spend a lot of time, I try to spend every Halloween in New Orleans. And one of the places, my favorite bars in New Orleans is called the Aaron Rose. And Angela Kohler is the co-owner of that bar. And she's, you know, tomorrow her life ends for about 2 weeks. And we're going to talk to her. Angela.
Hello. Happy Mardi Gras.
Hey, babe.
How you doing?
Happy Carnival.
Oh, baby, it's on.
What was it that you sent me? I sent you the email. I said I wanted to get you guys on. And you said Carnival. Is that like the in-town thing to call Mardi Gras?
Well, Mardi Gras Day is this coming Tuesday. Carnival season begins on the 12th night, which is usually 10 to 11 days after Christmas.
Well, you guys don't stop over there ever.
No, we don't. We know how to keep it rolling and keep the spirits up and, you know, just keep going. We love this. We live for this.
And when I spoke to you a couple of days ago, you said an interesting thing, and I've been telling everyone recently, is that you start purchasing everything for Mardi Gras, which starts on Tuesday, the day after Christmas.
Pretty much. I mean, in all actuality, scheduling Mardi Gras preparations for many people begin sometimes a year out. But you have Mardi Gras has different phases. And on the bar phase, it's literally a 2 to 3 week where you just start building up that stockpile, baby. You don't want to run out of Jameson.
No, and that's your classic drink. And I love that drink with the Irish coffee you guys have there. You can't
yes,
run out
indeed.
Of that. Where's your husband right now? Are you watching him on camera at the bar at the house?
No, actually, today is the day we get our head on straight, and we are right now packing up our Mardi Gras costumes, and we're getting ready to head down there and go kick some ass, and pardon me, and have a great time.
It's thank you. I just got fined from the SEC $10,000, but you know what? It's so fine. It's okay. When I go out to the bar, just give me a $10,000 tab at the Aaron Rose. It's fine. But
Did you really get fined for that?
It's okay. Don't worry. It's fine. I don't care. You know, that's a whole other story. But you guys, what is your costume? Is it just sort of like an old Southern kind of, like, what would be your costume you have? Because I remember last time I saw you guys at Halloween, your costumes were pretty wacky.
Well, I love the traditional 1800 style, and it's just, it's part of my personality, and it's along with many others' idealistic expressions of Mardi Gras, where you just, you come as you are deep down inside. And if you're a gynecologist that day, Mardi Gras day, so be it. If you are an 1800s relic, there you go.
So it doesn't make a difference in the sense of, but not everyone gets dressed up. Some people actually are pretty much naked during Mardi Gras.
Nudity, well, it really depends on what the weather's doing. And right now, I wouldn't suggest too much nudity for many down here right now. So nudity, it's not so much. Maybe in certain parts, you might see people flash their breasts for a 10-cent pair of beads.
Oh, you can't
but
say. You,
I imagine they don't feel.
You can't say. You can't say breasts either. You can't say breasts either. You have to say mammaries.
Mammaries.
I'm kidding. I have to say that on record, I always say this: my favorite place to go is the Aaron Rose Bar, and it, for two reasons. One, when I get off the plane, it's the first bar I go to, and I recommend to anyone who goes to New Orleans, before they go out to eat, before they start their night, they should hit up Aaron Rose Bar, have a couple of cocktails, go out, do their crazy thing, have fun, and then end up there at 2-3 o'clock, because it's the most restaurant industry bar I've ever been to. And I love it. I think it just has that feel. Do you agree? Just sort of like, because during the day, you guys have a ton of people that come there on their lunch break that work in restaurants. Is that still happening?
Oh, absolutely. And actually, we have so many different people. I mean, it's a neighborhood bar. So with that, it's a community of people, and it's ranged from all different backgrounds. But yes, yeah, service industry is the most prevalent. Bartenders to waitresses, chefs, executive chefs, name it.
It's funny. You can basically run your entire life. If you walk in there, you'll sit down. There'll be an attorney, some assistant district attorney sitting there, and then next to him will be a chef. But the funny part is he'll be in his chef coat. And for people that work in New York, including myself, I was dumbfounded by this, because they have a lunch break and they go in there, and it's very southern thing. You go down, you have something to eat, and they have a couple of cocktails, and they go back to work. It's not viewed upon as some, it's like, oh my God, this guy's, he has to go back to work. But also, if you go to Aaron Rose, there's the Orleans Rum Tour. And Orleans Rum is actually a product that is pretty popular here in New York. What's that all about? How can I get on that tour?
Well, the NOLA Rum Tours has got a great distillery, and they set up tours, which you can join our website, and you can actually sign up through a link on our website for NOLATours.com, and they will, I believe it's like a $10 tour, and you can get picked up from our location and dropped off, and it's a little van that picks up and shuttles people to the tour back and forth, and it is a great time, and there's definitely stories that I've heard. I haven't been on the tour yet, but I'm scheduled to go next week.
Well, Angie, I love you guys, man. Please, just promise me one thing. Be safe during Mardi Gras. And I promise I will see you guys within the year, probably this Halloween. All I ask is, actually, I'm going to ask this on air, because somebody was like, where do you stay when you go down there? I can crash on your guys' couch if I come down there for a couple of days, right?
Oh, absolutely.
Yes, yes. It's official. It's official.
Come on down, baby.
And Aaron Rose, anyone that's down there, where's it located? Is there a number we can call? Any kind of special stuff that we need to do if we go down there?
AaronRoseBar.com is our website, and our address is 811 Conti Street. We're at Bourbon and Conti.
Yeah, Bourbon Conti is just like if you're on Canal, it's about a block or two. Just
I would say two blocks. We're right at the 400 block of Bourbon.
Oh, that's so New Orleans. Thank you, Angie. Love you guys. Have a safe Mardi Gras. I'll talk to you soon. We're gonna take a break. We're gonna come back. We're gonna talk to 86List.com and some special guests.
This program has been sponsored by the Hearst Ranch. At Hearst Ranch manager Cliff Garrison describes their philosophy. Raising cattle on grass is both an ancient practice and one that is standard in much of the modern world. Sometimes the old ways are the right ways. We believe that our methodology is the right one for us. For more information on their premium grass-fed beef, visit HearstRanch.com.
Hello, morning after. I tell you, you know, just thinking about New Orleans, it puts a smile on my face. The only thing I regret about my 20s, other than my student loan, thanks for paying that, by the way.
We are on the air.
Is that I didn't spend 2 or 3 years just like having fun in New Orleans, working in the restaurant industry. I did it in New York. But we're going to talk to a good friend, 86list.com. I think she's on the line. Laura Wirtz, 86list.com.
How are you, Jason?
What's up? What's the hot job of the week? What do we got going here?
This week our hot job comes from 11 Madison Park, the New York Times Sports Star restaurant in the Flatiron District.
EMP. EMP.
Yep. EMP. EMP is seeking passionate, excellence-minded restaurant professionals to join their front-of-the-house team.
Okay.
They want people that are pretty serious. They want somebody who appreciates the educational aspect of the job and enjoys working in a competitive environment.
Okay.
And also they want this person to engage their job as a profession.
Okay,
so they're looking for some serious people there.
That's code for underpaid, I feel like, in Iran.
I tend to agree with you, but, you know, I don't know. I don't know about that place specifically. But, you know, some people really, you know, they it's a chance to learn, and sometimes that's where you got to start.
Are you at Whole Foods right now?
I'm not.
Where are you?
No, I'm not.
Where are you?
I'm on the street in Soho.
Oh, awesome. How glamorous. I just wanted to bring up, I haven't received your wedding invitation. I wanted RSVP plus one.
I haven't even put them in the mail yet. I just got them this week.
Oh, okay. You know what? We'll send it. I know it's a big, you know, it's a girl thing to send it out and stuff like that, but I was trying to save paper, an effort to save paper. I was going to answer on my, like, iPad, officially make it a Brooklyn kind of thing. But
I'm sending an RSVP postcard, so I'm saving the envelope. How about that?
Can I ask you, can you come in studio in, like, a week or two and just kind of hang out? I miss you guys.
Yeah, that would be great. Definitely.
Laura Wirtz, 86list.com. Thanks again for calling in. We'll talk to you soon.
Okay, take care.
We're back here morning after. My mom, are you tweeting? What are you doing? Oh, you're playing with the thing over there. I just know. No, you guys are in studio. I'm not going to ask you any questions. Don't worry. But first of all, thanks for coming out, Dad.
You're welcome.
Can you bring the mic a little bit closer? It's interesting when you kind of find out a little bit more about yourself, and then you find out the secret stuff that your parents hid from you. For example, my dad was in a band for... Dad, how long was that band around?
About 3 years.
3 years? And you played the...
The drums.
But I played that Frankie Valli song, and I asked you, like, every kid in town after the Beatles came out wanted to come out with a band, right? Is that what got you into playing the drums, or was it you just had an artistic kind of thing?
It was like the garage band type thing back then.
But all that came from the Beatles, right?
Yeah.
Like, everybody wanted to come out with a band. But before that, being in a band was kind of uncool, right? I mean, I don't know.
Nah, I wouldn't say uncool.
Yeah. Nah, it was different.
It was more of a educated type musician than a garage type musician.
No, I remember one day I went up to to my parents' attic, and I found they had a small one, the 45? What was the smaller record?
The 45.
You had a 45. Yeah. And I found it and stuff like that. And you're like, and then I went downstairs and I found all these paintings with my dad. And I was like, I knew I was artistic. It was like this thing. I was like, I knew something was hiding.
I'm not adopted.
I knew these feelings meant something. It was one of those eureka moments in my life. And I was like, yeah, whatever. But
he wasn't a cop his whole life.
No, I wasn't. Yeah, yeah. My dad worked for NYPD for 20 years. Dad, you were a homicide
detective.
You were narcotics. Watch out here in Roberta's. but this was your old beat. I remember we were driving here. You kind of told me a bunch of old stories. And my mom, who I have to thank, because when I was younger, when I was 14 or 15, one of my first jobs was at a place called Penny Feathers, which was an old restaurant, which was great. And you would drive, you know, drive me and pick me up all the time. And on, do you remember? Do you remember that time?
Yes.
Are you gonna cry?
No.
Don't worry. It's only 1 million people listening. No, there's nothing. And we're already have the FCC's already gonna fine the Aaron Rose. But I remember another thing with the whole restaurant. I was at Monsignor Farrell High School, and they had an advertisement for a restaurant job. And I had never had a job before. I was about 15 years old. But one of the things I really wanted to say on air, thank you, was my mom used to like pick me up because it was a late kind of. I used to get out really late.
Yes,
and
she did.
Yeah, and then drive me back and forth and stuff like that. But I always bring you up. I have to apologize. I'll still do it, but I always kind of make fun of you on air a little bit. In terms of saying, like, doing your voice. Like, can you talk for a second? Say hello.
Hello.
Cherish. But we spent the weekend with you, and I just want to say my passport, Julian, my passport stuff is taken care of. So I can go on family vacation now. Thank you for taking me on a shopping spree.
Quite welcome.
Buying 32-year-old man jeans and stuff like that. And giving me the buffalo wings that you had in your freezer and everything else. And all that fun stuff. So I greatly appreciate that. But we actually had a really close friend come in and from Dear Bushwick.
Hello.
Julian Muhammad.
Hi.
I'm sorry.
I just have a quick question for your father.
No,
actually,
No, don't.
I'm not allowed to speak. Sorry, never mind.
No, you're allowed to speak. I am totally allowed to speak. Ask him the question.
Okay, I just got to.
Julian Muhammad, owner of Dear Bushwick, which I will sink if you ask any inappropriate questions.
No, I just got a ticket riding my bicycle and jumping a red light. I was wondering if you could do anything for me.
It's too late.
It's too late.
Well, I will vouch. I will vouch for that in two reasons. That end of NYPD is over. That era of like stuff. I always say, growing up as a son of a police officer, was always be honest with NYPD, and but you know, I think the police department has changed that. Have you seen that at all? Like in terms of
without a doubt.
And you know, every person that leaves something will always be like, it's not the same. It's not when I grew up. When I was coming up out of the job, I was working on a job. I was working on Broadway in 42nd Street. We were busting guys that were getting hand jobs over in Times Square. It's different. It's not the same
anymore.
It's
changed.
They would say that, but it's very different. But I have to say, thank you, Mom. You're probably not going to be in studio for a long time, but you're a huge influence on me in terms of cooking. And how many, we talked about this at dinner the other day, how many times did we go out to eat? And I make a joke, I say five times. One time we went out for your 20th wedding anniversary, and the other four times were for a funeral, after the funeral.
Very few That's times.
Nice. But we cooked all the time.
We ate dinner home every night.
And the interesting thing, I've made up for it for the past 15 years in terms of just going out to eat, but I'll say for any mother, anyone that's trying to be cool, whatever, it's one of the best things ever is cooking every night and having was that a conscious decision between you and Dad to sort of have a nuclear kind of family experience to eat?
Yeah, because that's how children learn to have a conversation, and you know, you learn what's going on during the day, and it's I think it's a great thing.
And you, you know, I talked about this when I was on We Dig Plants, which was another huge influence on myself and on you guys with my grandparents. And you grew up, cooking. Influences came from your grandmother and your parents too.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And was there anything in specific that you enjoyed cooking? My favorite thing that you make was a stuffed pepper.
Oh yeah.
Do you still making that for this guy or what?
Yeah, no, I still make them.
No, and then Dad, what's going on over there? You're laughing over there.
I get a full meal every night.
I know, but we're a very progressive show here. Don't say that out loud. But thank you for paying for our meal here, Roberta's. Did you enjoy anything interesting you noticed here, Roberta's, which is where we broadcast live from Morning After? Carlos, Jesse Kiefer, everybody here. But anything here that you guys noticed being sort of necessarily like in the box instead of out of the box at Roberta's, like the feel of it? Mom?
I grew up in Greenwich Village.
You grew up on Bedford and Carmine?
Bedford and Carmine.
Right where Market Table is.
And it reminds me of the cafes on McDougal Street.
Where Bob Dylan played and stuff like that.
Years ago.
Were you allowed to go there?
No.
But you guys would walk around.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. You didn't lock your door.
The building?
Inside the building.
That's interesting. Julian, what do you think of all this? Because you're opening a place in a similar, not necessarily a similar experience, but in a neighborhood that is going to have so much potential and does have so much potential.
And we don't actually have any locks on the door at the moment, which is, I don't know what that says about Bushwick. It's supposed to be really, really violent and dangerous, but no one's broken to the restaurant yet.
Well, this is probably the most therapeutic thing I've done in the past 10 years. I should just have you guys on every week.
For real.
We're going to take a break. We're going to come back. We're going to talk to Ron Matthews. He's the industry vice president for Reed Exhibitions. These are the guys that produce the International Restaurant Food Show. Morning After.
Come fly with me. Let's fly away. If you can use some exotic booze, there's a bar in far Bombay. Come fly with me, let's fly away. Come fly with me, let's float down to Peru. In Llama Land, there's a one-man band, and he'll toot his flute for you. Come fly with me, let's take off in the blue. Once I get you up there, where the air is rarefied, we'll just glide starry-eyed. Once I get you up there, I'll be holding you
somewhere. We're back here the morning after. I'm really excited about our next guest. This is an event that happens every year in New York, and sometimes it doesn't hit the areas that it should, meaning, you know, the four-star restaurants as opposed to restaurants that are in Little Italy that don't make it out. They work so much. But this is an event. We're going to talk to Ron Matthews. He's the industry vice president of a company called Reed Exhibitions, and they produce the International Restaurant Food Service Show, and that's coming up on the Javits Center. I think the first day it starts is March 4th. Ron.
Yes, hi.
Man, thanks for calling in. I really appreciate it.
You got it. I'm glad to be on the show. Glad to be on the show, Jason.
I've gone to the event now for about 5 or 6 years, but the one thing I've always kind of wondered about, do you feel, at least in New York, does it touch the one-star restaurants as well as, like, the four-star restaurants? Like, do you feel it sort of, like, makes that crossover?
Yeah, good question. Well, first of all, thank you for coming each and every year. We appreciate the support.
Anytime.
And it does. It actually covers the full gamut of restaurants. You know, this is going to cover the commercial kitchens that are managed by the Aramarks of the world up to the Persays of the world, and in between with the fast casual and the quick service things. You know, New York has 25,000 restaurants. We've got to be able to cover it all. And we have products and education that cover from A to Z. You name it, we've got it.
No, when you walk around, you can totally tell it. But define international in the show. It's going to come up in New York. We'll focus on that. But can you tell me some of the other cities that it hits?
Yeah, in the international spectrum, I think one thing that really stands out when you walk into the show, I think you see it every year, you know, Asian flavors, Mediterranean flavors, and Asian fusion has been huge over the last 5 to 10 years, and growing and growing and growing even more. And we have a great partnership with the Japanese Restaurant Association organization, also an organization called AZEX, that brings in this Japan Pavilion, where we have like 50 or 60 different types of foods and sakis and drinks coming from Japan. People love that area.
Yeah, whole other bonus point of the show, because when you hit it and you make a right-hand turn and you're into a whole other area.
Yeah. No, people are amazed because you'll taste things you've never had before in your life, and then you'll drink things you've never had before in your life, and that gives life to menus. That's why people are coming to the show, to give life to the menu and give more growth and opportunity in their own restaurant.
I was talking to some people before, I was telling them I'm having you on, and they were like, they're like, oh, that's really cool. And I said, you know, I'd love to kind of like definitely check it out. And they were like, well, you know, these are listeners. And like I'm not, I started listening to your show, but I'm, you know, non-trade. Is there a way for people that aren't in the industry or willing to pay for a pass to come attend and check it out?
Actually, it is a trade event only, so they do have to be connected to the trade in some way, whether they're employed as an executive chef or an owner of an independent or a multi-unit. Now, there is an aspect, though, that they can enjoy on the public side, and that's Friday and Saturday. We have the New York Wine Expo, which is a co-located event with a couple of partners of ours, which is absolutely great. It's got great education, great wines. They have like 160 different tables, 200-plus variations of wine. That's pretty amazing. That piece is open to the public.
And is there any booths that stick out to you? Obviously, everyone that comes here, you know, I don't know specifically who's attending, but I know from the past of who I've seen there. You know, I've always said as a buyer, as a restaurant owner, one of the things I've always told people that have come to me, I said, hey, look, you're not going to be wowed. You're going to see a lot of stuff. There's going to be some really cool things you see. But one of the great things about the show is you're going to take one or two things that you've never seen before and bring it back to your restaurant. Is there anything exciting coming up this year, booths or trade talks that stick out to you?
Yeah, you really nailed it right on the head, Jason. You walk through here and you see a lot of the same things that you see every single day. If you don't need glasses, the glassware doesn't stick out. If you're not looking for couches, the couches may not jump out. However, you will find things that you've never seen before because most restaurateurs continue ordering and using the same thing they used many, many years ago, other than a slight adjustment to their specialty menus. So I think this year, I'll tell you what, I'm going to tell you a couple. Definitely go into our front of house experience area. Our front of house experience area this year will focus on all the dining room decor and tabletop that people are looking for because the trends are pretty important in that area. And I think you got a couple things. People go into the restaurant, they want good food, they want good service, but the atmosphere means so much. And the front of house experience will deliver a lot of cool new ideas in there. I talked to a guy the other day from Merchandise Connections International. He's got this crystal
guys.
That's mind-blowing. No barium whatsoever. It's just so beautiful. I can't wait to show it to people.
And the other thing for everyone that's attending is, you know, if they invest a day, you know, my favorite time to go is Sunday afternoon. That's just me because I usually work during the week and it's crazy. But you can actually fulfill a lot of the things. You guys have, there's the pizza competition. There's a pastry competition. I don't know exactly what's going on this year, but, you know, everything you see on TV, if you want to see a realistic version of it, and actually the people there, you can go. Is there anything events like that that are continuing on this year, like the pizza tossing thing? Hello?
Yeah, I'll give you new things.
Yeah,
the definite one highlight is our U.S. pastry competition is the best pastry competition in the United States, and the winners go to France to compete. And when you take a look at the people that are competing, they're from super high-end restaurants and four-star restaurants, and they come to New York to this event just to compete to get that opportunity. So that'll be happening this year. We also have a few new things this year. You know, New York Brewers Pavilion we put together. You know what? Senator Chuck Schumer had a big push towards getting New York State breweries more business, driving more tax revenue, more growth in the state, and getting the restaurateurs to use more New York breweries. So we built the New York Brewers Pavilion, and the New York State Restaurant Association, our owner and sponsor, was so excited about it and such support of the senator, this went up like so easily, and it helps our New York Wine and Grape Foundation. You'll see an area in the show, it's Pride of New York, and this is probably about 20 different companies. Since local sourcing is so big, Pride of New York is all these great products, local, fresh, sustainable, right there from New York, and that's always a big hit.
Well, Ron, I want to thank you for your time. I know you're busy. Ron Matthews, I'm speaking to Industry Vice President for Reed Exhibitions, the producer of the International Restaurant and Food Service Show is coming up. Ron, any last-minute restaurant people that want to get a pass and attend, where should they go?
You know what? They should go to our website, and it's internationalrestaurantny.com.
Thanks, Ron, for your time. I'll see you in, maybe I'll talk to you this week coming up, but if not, I'll see you in 2 weeks.
let's do some things for the show at our event, Jason. We can help you out too.
The morning after is over. I didn't want to talk about it too much because I know we're kind of in negotiations right now. But on my end, the morning after is totally there. Let's talk this week. I'm really excited about it. Really excited about the show. Thanks again.
Great. Have a great weekend. Appreciate being on.
Anytime.
Bye bye.
We're going to take a break. Morning after, we're going to talk to Jessie Kiefer. She's going to come in and tell us what's coming up in the next few weeks. Possible restaurant show appearance? I don't know. My buddy, Julian Mohammed. My parents. Morning after. I said, hey, I put some new shoes on and everybody's smiling. It's so inviting. Oh, short on money, but long on time. Slowly strolling in the sweet sunshine. And I'm running late. An excuse, so wearing my brand new shoes. Woke up late one Thursday, and I'm seeing stars as I'm rubbing my eyes, and I felt like there were 2 days missing as I focused on the time. Then I made my way to the kitchen, but I had to stop from the shock of what I found. That's New Shoes from that movie Something Borrowed, which is one of those classic movies or TV shows where you watch and there's like, you know, they have a $8,000 a month apartment and they work at the newspaper as an assistant editor, you know, this, that. But you know, I'm really excited. I'm gonna have Ron Matthews on because I can't believe the thing about that show is I really believe that when you go there, it's first of all, you see everyone you deal with. Like Baldor is there, Dairyland is there, Sam Tell is there. And you kind of see people that you talk to on the phone or you've never seen before. And it brings everybody together. It's Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, and it's totally worth checking out, especially because for most people that do a lot of purchasing, it's free. Julian, I recommend, you know, I know you're super busy doing it.
But I'll go.
We have Jessie Kiefer. Jessie, I want to give you something first before you go on. Jessie Kiefer, producer of The Morning After. We were shopping yesterday, myself, my mom. Mom, what were you doing? Remember I picked it out and I said, hey, this is going to be perfect for Jessie. And you kind of like were hit every aisle for a larger size because you didn't know what she looked like.
I wasn't sure.
She checked like
medium.
Three aisles. Just so you know, this was in the 80% off aisle. I'm not even kidding around. So I have for you.
What is it?
It is a t-shirt of Tupac that says Life Goes On. And it's kind of like that. Or like Tupac after he got out of jail when he got a little bit more into exercise. He looks a little
that
more
looks like Poetic Justice. Tupac, I think.
We love Poetic Justice. So I'm going to toss this over to you. Thank you.
Thank you guys so much. I think it's probably 80% off because it's probably from the 90s.
Yeah, it might have some blood on it. Jessie Kiefer, producing Morning After. What's coming up in the show next few weeks?
Well, hopefully, fingers crossed, we're going to have, you know, one of the biggest wine people in probably the world.
And how funny was that email that I sent to him and I misspelled the most important event that he does every year?
That seems pretty typical, right? that's how things happen,
that's
unfortunately.
Usually, yeah,
I remember applying for a job once and spelling the name of the restaurant wrong. It was like it was Sambar, like Momofuku Sambar, and I spelled it wrong, and then I wrote them another email and was like, I'm sorry, I spelled that incorrectly.
No, I'm on this weird thing now where I get up or, you know, super early, and I Googled the thing just to see, and I know how much stickler wine people are, and I cut and pasted, and I didn't really check it, and then we got the email back. He was, like, totally interested, but, you know.
Well, he didn't mention it, but he mentioned the event.
In a very wine
and wrote it correctly and actually gave you a website link.
What else is going on in the morning after next week? By the way, Dad, my dad offered me to go to the Daytona 500 next weekend. I don't know if I'm definitely going to go, but if we, if I do decide to go, would you host the morning after?
Yeah, absolutely.
You're
going to entrust me with this baby?
Yes and no. I will call in.
Of course, several times, I'm sure.
No, I'll call in once, but I do entrust you with the Morning After Child for every reason why it's called the Morning After. so I just wanted to throw that out there. But next week you have Elizabeth Chubbuck from Murray's Cheese.
No, no, Elizabeth she's doing you know, last minute jet set to Paris. Oh, so yeah, I don't feel very bad for her.
I hate when that happens.
Yeah, yeah, but she's going to be coming on in a couple weeks and reporting back from Paris, and hopefully she's going to smuggle us back some Parisian cheese.
Okay,
no fromage,
no hash.
Well, okay. We'll keep that on the down low.
Okay.
well, next week we have this. We have a zine writer, Sarah Keough, and her co-producer of the zine, Ralph McGinnis, are going to be on. It's a zine called "Put an Egg on It."
What, is that like kind of "Put a Bird on It," the Portlandia thing?
Well, I actually don't know if this was created before that, but I mean, think about food in New York City, and okay. Like every single menu has something with an egg on it. You know.
Exactly.
You know, like,
what came first, a Portlandia thing or the egg on it? Yeah, yeah, that's a classic thing. We have that coming up. Let me think on my end what we have coming up. The wine thing. That's basic. That's a huge interview. That's kind of like getting David Bowie right now in terms of the restaurant thing. I don't think he's ever done any kind of those interviews.
Heritage, probably not.
Heritage, but I have Smith and Lewinsky's. They're going to come on, and actually they're going to do a whole retrospective of the entire kind of Smith Lewinsky's story.
Well, they're a chain, right? You were talking about chains earlier.
Oh, no.
I mean, beast. Okay.
Yeah, no, no. They have they have a place in Vegas and then here, but no, not by any means. Or,
okay.
Or
all this. Right.
But what else?
Well,
what else?
I have chains on my head because a former coworker of mine is working at a huge chain, like probably the biggest Italian restaurant chain in the world, the Olive Garden.
Oh, you know, I feel so Italian. Mom, what do you think? Do you feel really Italian when you see that? I feel like I had an Al Sharpton kind of for Italians. I can go out every time an Olive Garden commercial comes on.
I've never been to an Olive Garden.
Good, don't lie.
I've never been.
Dad, where are our seats going to be at the Daytona 500 if I decide to go?
Whatever ones we can get.
We're competing with basically people that work the entire year to buy a seat. That's not sold out by now, or
no, it's not.
Okay, when do you need to know by if I'm going Tuesday? Can you give me the Tuesday?
Yeah, Tuesday's good.
Okay, cool. Dad, can you pass? You just swivel your mic over. No, he's got the headphones to Julian. Jess, what else is going on? We're gonna go an extra 5 minutes there, Carlos, because Jack is you know, there's nothing going on. We're the only people that actually showed up today at Heritage Radio. Everybody else is a replay.
Well, anyway, I mean, to continue with the Olive Garden, I'm gonna have my friend call in anonymously and kind of give us the Olive Garden expose, which I'm pretty excited about.
Exclusive.
I mean, I want to hear all about soup, salad, and breadsticks.
You know, I'm not. I think I love this interview because I'm not going to go in as just like berate them, because there's that whole other side of restaurants, and I really want to hear the intricacies of like operations in there.
It's so specific.
Yeah, and I want to hear it because we went to the Bone Fresh Grill, but I would love to be a server and have to describe what wolffish is. So I have a lot of respect for it, because there's like wolffish on the menu. Julian, you worked as a server for a long time before you opened Dear Bushwick.
Yeah, I never experienced wolffish. Is that wolf or a fish?
Exactly.
Or,
well, you know, we were driving.
What was it?
Well, we were driving in the car going to my parents' house, and I called one in Omaha, Nebraska, just to mess around. I was like, "Hey, how's it going? I'm going down there I got a 7 o'clock reservation. I want to get that wolffish special, but I'm a little confused. Is that meat or is that fish?" And the guy's like, "Sir, this is it's a fish that runs in fresh water." I was like, "All right, I'll see you later."
Yeah,
but you have to sell that kind of stuff.
Well, I'd love to. I mean, wolf wouldn't be very hard to sell, I imagine.
No, as an Englishman, your entire mythology of stories was based on wolves and stuff
fox
like
fox meat
fox oh, and stuff.
So
like
tender,
that.
So tender.
When is your I like my fox meat medium rare. That's just me myself.
Your fox meat?
Yes. When do you think? When is your operating? When you guys are opening up? By the way, I think you've come here to kind of offer me a job too, right?
Yes, actually, I was wondering if you wanted to wash dishes.
I would. No, I'm not. I'm not above or doing any of that stuff. But I know you guys are kind of like in the. Like that period where you're ready to explode.
Yes.
So anyone that's listening that wants to be part of something that's going to be successful
and super cool, yeah, absolutely. We're looking for kitchen staff, essentially.
Who should they call?
They should email Julian at dearbushwick.com. Or you can call me on 212-203-1933. We have a recipe book that was provided to us by a great chef consultant that's working up in Nantucket right now, and we need someone that's basically going to take that and run with it.
like the wolves.
Like yeah, the exactly. wolves. Yeah, and you
is, that a is that your real accent?
Yeah, this is my real accent. yeah, okay. All right, yeah, so please get in touch. It's going to be awesome. The menu is based on sausages or bangers.
Bangers and mash.
Yeah, we're also going to open a speakeasy next door, which will provide the opportunity to develop a slightly different menu, although somehow similar. And we're going to be opening... we're thinking of the first day of spring, actually, which I think is maybe... Is that March 21st?
I mean, it could be today if you really go by like the way it feels. No, I think... I feel that you guys are on the perfect path to do it. I mean, I would definitely, in terms of my consulting, and whoever's listening, can you time the amount of seconds I'm giving this advice so I can invoice the place? I would do like a week before you see the place kind of it getting, the weather getting nicer. Only because, I don't know, I know you. I know how, you know, gracious you are and what a service industry person you are, and I know the place is going to be successful.
Yeah.
100%. So I would really, like, I would hedge your bet in terms of, like, getting set up and, you know, don't do it friends and family. You know, don't get caught up with that. Just have some people over one night just to hang out
yeah,
and make
just
them
be
pay.
My friends and family, funny.
Yeah. Well, you know, my parents
and
were,
your parents,
were
and your
definitely
parents.
Invited. So, Jess, what else is going on coming up in the morning? Any cool news? By the way, a car crashed into Hearth.
Yeah,
right?
I saw that. I mean, I walked by because I live in the East Village. I walked by Hearth. No exterior damage that I could see. But yeah, but Chef Kenora said that it scared the crap out of all the guests in the dining room.
Because they saw it kind of like veer off.
Yeah, I mean, I imagine it made some sort of noise or...
Is that 2nd Ave? What is this?
No, it's 1st Ave and 12th Street.
And it was coming up. Was the guy drunk? He just kind of was out of it?
I have no idea. I mean, oh, okay. Obviously. I hope he was swerving to avoid like a kitten or a pedestrian. That seems like the only good reason
the proverbial
to drive
off,
up on the sidewalk.
Off-duty sign on, like somebody wanted a cab. He's like, no, I'm going uptown. I gotta go. Right. I'm in the middle of my break. this was a fun show. Mom?
Yes.
You don't anywhere have to talk, so I'm just going to say thank you for coming in.
Oh, you're welcome.
Thank
Had
you for this
time.
Weekend. I appreciate the Kirkland Signature Buffalo Wings from Costco. I appreciate that. It's in my freezer. I appreciate the chicken thighs you gave me and the frozen haricot vero, as I like to call it, string beans or whatever you want to call it, French green beans, and the M&M packs. Those are all free. You're not going to send me a check for that.
Not at all.
Okay, cool. Thank you for dinner at Bonefish Grill. What was the diner we went to? The Marina Diner?
Marina.
Oh, the server was miserable.
Yes.
Thank you for that. Dad, thank you for opening up the a little bit on the show and let me know where my creative kind of stuff came from. My work ethic, I feel, comes from my mom's side, and my creative side comes from my dad's side a little bit. So thank you for letting me realize that. It saved me a lot of money with my psychiatrist.
Make fun of my recliner.
No, your recliner sounds like the Aliens 2 thing that Sigourney Weaver has. You don't have to hit a button. That's a whole other story. Julian, could you swivel that thing over? Julian Muhammad, I wish you the best of luck. And anyone that's looking to help out as a server, as a chef, anything, call that number. This is one of those things I feel like with Daniel Holtzman and Michael Cherno, where a year and a half from now, he's going to be on Chelsea Handler because he's got the formula. I know the guy's got a work ethic. He's a little surly, but what Englishman isn't? Jess?
Thank you.
Yeah, I mean, I may be reporting to everyone as the host next week, apparently.
Possibly. I don't know if I'm going to go. There's a lot of big stuff going on in the morning after this week, so if the international restaurant thing might fall through or this... it depends. I might go, you know, I might just jump off the face of the earth and go to NASCAR. That's what
I was
going to
say. I mean, like a tan and NASCAR, that sounds pretty great right now.
She's just trying to take over the show, secretly. thanks. Carlos, can you check in and say thanks?
I think this thing's on, yes.
Yeah, thanks, man, for doing it. I appreciate
no
it.
Problem.
The office
Thank
looks
you.
Great. This is the morning after. You guys can follow me at TheJasonColucci on Twitter. Check my fan page at The Morning After. I want to thank everybody for checking in today and tuning in. We'll be back next week. Host unknown at 3 o'clock Sunday. Heritage Radio Network broadcasting live from Roberta's. Jack Inslee, usually in the studio, but we have Carlos. It's Carlos, how do you say your last name? Salguero. Sorry, I just didn't know how to pronounce it properly. I'm learning to just actually ask the people instead of like you know just chopping it up. Patrick Martins and Ann Saxelby, congratulations to them on the first couple of the Slow Food Movement. Morning After, we'll be back next week. Thanks. We out. ABC. See you.
Thanks for listening to this program on the Heritage Radio Network. You can find all of our archived programs on heritageradionetwork.com, as well as a schedule of upcoming live shows. You can also podcast all of our programs on iTunes by searching Heritage Radio Network in the iTunes Store. You can find us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter for up-to-date news and information. Thanks for listening.